So we are in Philippians. Just to give you a little context, there's a handful of verses that we've broken up into a couple of weeks. So if you haven't been here, let me give you the context. It started with a big fight. Don't all kind of things start with a big fight, right? But Euodia and Syntyche, two ladies, are in conflict with each other. And so bad that Paul, who's far away, sends this letter and includes them in it. You do not want to be included in one of Paul's letters because you're in a fight. But they are. And he says, you need to agree in the Lord. And then after that, talking about conflict, then it says rejoice. That's the last thing people want to do in conflict. Rejoice in the Lord always. That was last week. We looked at five ways that Scripture helps us. And then this week, we come to anxiety. This also relates to conflict. Don't you feel anxious when you're in conflict? So that's just a little bit of context. Look with me in your Bibles at Philippians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 5 to 7. It says this, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That completes our reading of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your invitation to bring our anxieties to you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would use your word profoundly in my life and their life as you intend to do for your glory. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I don't know if any of you like cooking competition shows. If you don't, let me give you the basic layout. All right, we got one who likes them. All right, so you have some contestants, and they organize them differently. But the basic idea is you have a set amount of time to make a dish, and then there's judges who are going to judge and declare a winner, right? And so you can just see as the time, as the clock ticks down, you can see the anxiety building, can't you? And then something goes wrong. They burn something, they drop something, then it really goes up, right? So maybe you haven't experienced that. You've only watched that vicariously. But you all experience other anxieties. Any students in the room know this, right? You've had tests. You have deadlines. You all adults remember the SATs. Weren't those great? Those time tests, right? And so it's easy to feel anxious. Or the project. You procrastinated. It's the night before it's due. And the anxiety just ticks up, right, as the hours go by. We all know anxiety. It is common to all of us. There's another round of layoffs at work. That's one that'll get you going. Well, I still have a job in a month. Lots of people experience these things. So this morning we're looking at anxiety. We'll answer this question. You see this on page 7. What are we to do when we're tempted to be anxious? Two answers and a promise. So first, pray to God in everything. Thank God in everything. And then guarded by God's peace. So let's look at the first one. Pray to God in everything. Verse 5. So a little side note, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. This particularly relates back to that whole conflict, right? When you're in conflict, you don't really want to be reasonable. You could translate that for reasonableness, forbearing spirit, a generous spirit that rises above offense, that overlooks, right? So that's what that means. In conflict, as long as one person will do that, it often settles the conflict. If two people do it, there is no more conflict. Right, even if they still disagree, they can overlook the offense and the conflict can subside. Well, then, so he gets to this next thing. He says, look at the end of verse 5. He says, the Lord is at hand. Well, what's that mean? Well, it's two possible meanings. One is that the Lord's at hand means he's like right here with us. Okay, that's possible meaning one. Possible meaning two is he's going to come back really soon. Okay, so theologically, which one of those is true? Both, right? So God is with us. He's in us, even better than with us. It's through his spirit, he's in us, right? But then also, he's coming back very soon. And so Paul's being ambiguous here, maybe because he means both. Both are encouraging, aren't they? Well, of what he's about to say. He's about to talk about anxiety. Let me give you an illustration. Kids, you can relate to this. Have you ever had a parent tell you, it's okay, mommy's right here. It's okay, daddy's right here. Right, where we scoop you up in our arms and we say, it's okay, we're right here. Right, so that's what that means, that the Lord is at hand. He's saying, it's okay. I'm right here with you. You aren't alone. Right? But the other is the babysitter. Okay, you're scared, and the babysitter says to you, Mom and Dad will be back any minute. Okay? And so you're like, ah, the world, the sky's falling. It's okay. Mom and Dad will be home in just a minute. Right? And so that's the same. Jesus is coming back any minute. Both of those things can bring us comfort when we're feeling what? Anxious. So that takes us there. So it says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious in anything. Do not be anxious in anything. What does anxiety mean? Is it any different than fear? I think a slight nuance is, think about fear. You're afraid of heights. You're afraid of snakes, wherever my wife is. People are afraid of public speaking. People are, right, they're afraid of specific things. I'm afraid of something, okay? Whereas with anxiety, it's more you're worried about something. Like, I'm worried about not finishing my assignment. I'm worried about what people think of me. Do you see the distinction? One's more you're scared of something, and the other is more you're worried. So that's what anxiety means. Can relational conflict produce anxiety? Absolutely. Absolutely. Will the relationship last? How are they going to feel about me? Are they going to stay mad at me? Right there, lots of things can create conflict can create anxiety. But there's many other things, as you know. There's tons of things. But look at this contrast. Look at the verse, and we're just going to go right through the verses. So look at those words. We're going to use every one of them. Anxious in a sense, anxious in nothing, but in everything pray. Big contrast. Don't be anxious in anything, but in everything pray. Serious? Pray about everything? Like, really? Do you really want to hear about everything, God? That's what it said, didn't it? It said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. I mean, if it can cause you anxiety, you should pray about it. What can cause you anxiety? Just about anything. So you should pray about everything. Do you see that connection? He's saying anything that can make you anxious, bring it to the Lord. We gave examples at the beginning. There's lots. There's all kinds of silly ones. I can't find a parking spot. There's so much traffic. Am I going to make it to the meeting on time, right? We have all kind of little things. You could list 100 things if you sat down and slowed down. Wow, let's see. I get anxious about this and this and this. Right? There's all kind of things. And the Lord is saying, come to me and pray. We can learn something from little kids. So when you were 2 or when you were 3, what things did you ask your parents about? Just like the really important things? Mom and Dad won't care about this. Not about this. I have a significant need, right? No. Everything. Mom, I dropped my spoon. Mom, where's my Lego? Mom, where's this? Mom, I can't find this. Mom, I have nothing to wear today. Right? They just come about everything. Should we be any different? Should we be any different? God is saying, it is okay. You can come to me about the tiniest things because I love you. Just like our kids. We don't tell our kids, hey, come back when you got something important, kid. I hope you don't. Please don't do that. Right? Sure, I'll help you find your spoon and your Lego and your shirt and your whatever, right? Because it's important to them. And so it's important to us. If it's important to you, it's important to God. He wants to know about it. That's what he's saying. As he's saying, look at the rest of the verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A lot of words that mean prayer. Supplication just means asking stuff. Let your request being made known to God. He wants to know. Now see, as you get older, kids, what do? These two words, me do, I got this. I don't need help. Right? Don't you start saying that? No, I'll help you. No, I don't need it. That's what we do as we get older, right? You get to be a teenager, and it just continues, right? Like, I want to be able to do it on my own. As adults, don't you go to the Lord like that? No, I got this. I got this figured out. I'll come to you for the important stuff, but I got it under control. You don't have it under control. Your anxiety gives you away. Your anxiety gives you away. You're anxious because you don't have it under control. We're pretending to have it under control. And so the Lord is saying, no, come to me. And see, now some of you hide it. You don't think you're anxious. That seems like a weak thing. You get angry. Why? So there's many reasons for anger. We'll talk about them over the next few years. There's lots of causes of it. One of them is you're anxious about something. You're anxious about this, and someone interrupts you. And you yell at them. I won't yell because it'll blow your eardrums out, right? But you're anxious about something, and someone comes in and says, hey, Mom, I can't find, would you, right? That has nothing to do with them. You're anxious about something, right? So there's lots of, our anxiety leads to all kind of other sins is what I'm saying. Let your request be made known to God. We don't have it under control. See, you have this knee-jerk reaction. When you're fixing something, what do? Most of you do it. You get the parts, you're like, I have no idea. You pull out your phone and you go somewhere. You all go to the same place. It's called YouTube, right? You're like, 10 people have solved this problem, right? And so you watch the video. You just have a knee-jerk reaction. Most of you do. It's a fine one. I do it too. So what we need is a knee-jerk reaction to, as we feel the pangs of anxiety, raising up in us to just immediately say, I know where to go. Lord, I can't figure, I don't know what's going on. So if you didn't pray at the beginning, when you start feeling anxious, turn to the Lord. That's the basic point of this. It's very, very simple, but we don't do it. And so that's why we're here. Remember the verse we opened the service with? It was 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast your anxieties on the Lord. Throw them. I often picture that. And I'll do a hand motion as I pray, and I'll say, God, I cast this on you. I throw this on you. I don't know what to do with it. I'm worried about it. Would you take care of it? Right? And so we're transferring the burden onto someone else who can handle it. That's a lot of what prayer is transferring things that you cannot handle, you can't do. The greatest of those is saving yourself. You ever worry about death? There's a reason why you do. If you don't know the Lord, it's because you need the Lord, right? The greatest thing you can cast is your need for salvation. And then after, for those of you who are saved, you've already done that and said, Jesus, I can't fix my life. I've tried really hard. It hasn't worked. I'd like you to do it. We need to continue to do that. The rest of the Christian life is the same pattern. I can't do this. I can't fix myself. I sinned again, God. I failed again. Please forgive me. Change me. There's one word. Look back at verse 6. There's one word that stands out. It's kind of odd. Do you see it? There's one word that you're just like, what? It doesn't fit with the rest of the words. It takes us to our second point. More briefly, secondly, thank God in everything. Really? Thank God in everything. When you're anxious, are you excited about being thankful? Uh-uh. You aren't. You aren't excited about being thankful. You're worried about something. You may be thankful when he answers the prayer, but we aren't there yet. Why would he say this? Why would he say, don't be anxious. Pray, tell me, I want to hear, and be thankful. If you were here last week, we talked about rejoicing always. I can't promise that I did a great job delivering it, but the scripture was amazing. I highly recommend it if you missed it. There are at least five, there's probably more scriptural ways that you can rejoice in any situation, right? And the same thing apply in this. The same thing, there's that, how can you be thankful when you want to be anxious? Here they are. This was last week's sermon, really fast. It won't make sense to you if you weren't here, but I'll give it to you real fast. One way that you can do it is that God will use it for your good, right? So you're anxious and you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. I might lose my job. You're like, God, I know you're going to use this for good in my life. Secondly, you can say, God, thank you for limiting my suffering. That even though I worry about this, you haven't just let anything happen to me. You've limited it. You're kindly allowing suffering with good purpose. Third, that you've blessed me in many other ways. Yeah, I'm worried about my job, but thank you for my marriage and my kids, and I have a savings account, and that I have a house, but I'm worried about this one thing. Thanks for the other 10, right? So God's blessed us in other ways. The fourth, they get way better, the last two, is that you remember heaven. So you say, Lord, I'm worried about this, but no matter what happens, worst case scenario, I'm still coming home to you. That can really let you be thankful, right? All this, what is this accomplishing? Oh, I got to tell you the last one. Last one's the best one. Last one is Jesus is with you and in you. Jesus is with you and in you. So you need to rejoice in your suffering. Remember, you are not alone. You need to be thankful when you're feeling anxious. Do that. Remember, Jesus is right here with me. Okay, that was last week's sermon. If it didn't make sense, it's on the website. But what this is doing is it's expanding your tunnel vision. When we're anxious, we get tunnel vision. We talked about that a lot the last couple weeks because we all have problems with that. Tunnel vision, where you're only focused on one thing, that one problem. And God wants you to zoom out and see he's been faithful. He's been faithful in the past. He's been faithful in scripture. He's with you. You've got heaven to come. Do you see how that helps? We get tunnel vision, and he wants to break that tunnel vision. Okay, so we've had several commands, rejoice always, this, to not be anxious, to turn to him. Now, finally, a promise. So third and finally, it's getting good. Look at verse 7. I love this verse. You know what? These verses are great to memorize. Just here's a tip, pro tip. Start in the middle of verse 5. You see the sentence structure there. The sentence starts in the middle of verse 5. The Lord is at hand. So start there and just memorize 6 and 7. You will use it more than you realize. It is so helpful. Anyways, verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, will guard what? Your heart and your mind. Your emotions, instead of how you feel and how you think. Now, in the olden days, this is guarding kind of like a military example. Kids, you know what happened when they'd build a castle? They couldn't build it, but so big. What would they do? Because not everyone fit it. You can have all the farmland inside. Do you know what they did? They put all the farmland surrounding the castle, and then as soon as bad guys show up on the horizon, what does everyone do? Do you know? They'd run inside the gates. They'd shut the gates. Everyone was safe. They all fit. Just their farmland didn't fit. Right? And so the same is true. God guards you. And so you can escape into the fortress of the Lord, that the Lord provides safety for your minds and your hearts when you're worried and when you're anxious. So it's using this military picture. When you're under attack, you can run to the Lord. Now, the world, it runs to a plan. You just need to make a plan, and then you'll have peace. That's what the world says. You just need to figure it out. So if you've ever done risk management, so this is a previous career, touched on risk management. So you have mitigation plans, you have disaster recovery plans. There's all kind of crazy things in IT. But you're doing all this because then the CEO can have peace. If my building blows up, all my data is safely somewhere else. We have a plan. Plan for this and that and this and that, right? You've got plans too. You've got insurance plans. Let me tell you all the great insurance plans you have. You have health insurance plans. You have life insurance plans. You have car insurance plans. You have flood insurance. You have homeowners insurance plans. You have your retirement savings plan. Is it giving you peace? Is your plan really giving you peace? I have all those plans too, but that's not going to be our source of our peace. Peace is only found in the Lord. Peace is only found in the Lord. If you don't have peace, there's two possible things. Either you aren't a Christian, and so that's a big deal. You need Jesus. If you are a Christian and you don't have peace, it's because you need to run to Jesus. Just like you do to be saved, we continue to run to find safety. Our kids do that. Our kids run and jump in our arms when they're scared. We need to continue to do that all of our Christian lives. And then you think back to verse 5. Oh, well, then maybe I could be reasonable if I had the peace of God. You see, in conflict, if we're peaceful, you see, normally you aren't peaceful, are you, when you're in conflict, right? But if God gives you peace, you're so much easier to deal with conflict. But if there's turmoil in your heart, there will likely be turmoil outside. One of the keys of Christianity is that God looks at the heart. They haven't caught that yet, right? And so it's not all external. We solve external problems. Self-help things, they're going to solve external problems with all this external stuff. But God deals with the heart. He changes the inside of the man, of the woman. And then that flows out. That's how it heals marriages. That's how it heals anxiety. Is that God changes from the inside out. We get God's peace. What's cool is there's two common errors that this passage actually protects us against. Here's the first. Have you ever had been around people that have this crazy notion that Christians should always be happy? It's like they're always just chipper, and they never have a bad day, and they never acknowledge, oh, this terrible thing happened. Like, oh, it's all right. I'm just rejoicing always. I love the Lord. He's good all the time. And it's really false joy, isn't it? Like, you know they don't really feel that way. They're just, it's all a facade. It's all a show. This verse protects against that. How does it do that? It says, don't be anxious. It doesn't just say, stop it, right? Don't be anxious, stop it. I'm glad God didn't say that to us, right? He says, don't be anxious, come to me. We don't tell our kids, just stop it. Stop being scared, kid. No, we say, come here. It's okay. Let me comfort you. That's what God does. So one of the great things about this is we get to be the representatives of God and tell you what God's like. Not because you have to listen to me. We just open the word. Hey, I didn't say it. Look, it says right here. Don't be anxious. Come to me. Tell me your request. And my peace, God says, will guard your heart and your mind. The Lord wants, he doesn't want you to be anxious. He doesn't, I don't want you to be anxious. He certainly doesn't. And so he says, come to me. Bring the things that you're worried about and you will find peace. Now, is this like a vending machine? When you do a vending machine, you put in some money and you press A3, right? And then like this little bag of chips, and comes down, right? Is that how peace works with God? You say to pray, A3, peace. Isn't that great? So that's not exactly usually how it works. God could do that, and I'm sure he does that sometimes, but generally, it is a slow process. There's a YMCA just down the street. I think they're open right now. You could go, or maybe they're open at 12. You could go there, get a membership, all right? You want to get in shape, all right? You work out. Today, you could work out, right? Now, this afternoon, will you be in shape? You got the membership? You worked out. It's done. A3, you're in shape. That's not how it works. You know that, right? Sanctification, that process of just God cleaning you, changing you. I read last night a devotion that's like ripening, like a sour apple, right? That God ripens us. He makes us sweeter. It's this process of making us more like Jesus. And so that is slow, just like getting in shape. Right now, if you go to the YMCA every day, this isn't an ad for the YMCA, by the way, but if you go there, right, after a month, after 2 months, 6 months, you're going to notice a change, aren't you? Sanctification is that way. Becoming more like Christ is that way. It's a slow process. That little by little. So that if you pray, you're anxious about something, and you pray, you might still be anxious about it, but a little bit less. Right? As you continue to run to the Lord over and over as you grow. Anyone who's been a Christian a long time could give testimony to this. Your anxiety will slowly, slowly go down. As we wrap up today, I want to share personally. I think it's just good that some of you know me, some of you don't. If you've been around me a lot, you know that I pray about the most random things. Like I pray over all kinds of stuff. Do you know why that is? Yes, the Bible says so, but there's another reason. I've struggled greatly with anxiety in my life. I could tell you tons of stories as a younger man of just silly things that I worried about. I was anxious about all kinds of stuff, and it was a big part of my growing up as a Christian. And so I learned God wants me to come to him. And so I came to him about all the little silly things that made me anxious. And over time, slowly, slowly, I saw my anxiety come down. I saw that it's going to be okay. God's got it under control. And so I've used this. I memorized this verse years and years ago. And it's served me so well. And I didn't even miss. I didn't realize the sentence started in the middle of verse 5. The Lord is at hand. Brothers and sisters, he truly is at hand. He loves you. He's right here in this room. If you're a believer, he's living right inside of you by his Spirit. And he wants to give you peace. He does not want to leave you in anxiety. If you struggle with anxiety like I have in my life, you're not alone. Many Christians have struggled with it, and the Lord invites us. And if you don't think you struggle with it, you probably struggle with it more than you realize. It probably triggers all kinds of other things you don't even realize. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. He invites us. For indeed, the Lord is at hand. Do not, my brothers and sisters, be anxious about anything. But in everything, let us pray. With supplication, with thanksgiving. There's plenty of things to be thankful about. And the peace of God, which transcends, which goes beyond all of your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. In Christ Jesus, the guy who died and rose again because he loved us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that I didn't exaggerate anything about you. That's what's so cool. You're really that cool. You're really that amazing. And you're more amazing than I can even articulate. Oh, Lord. Oh, that we would understand your character. And that we would run to you over and over again. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they too would learn to have this knee-jerk, this instinct response to just turn to you as soon as they feel the pangs of anxiety. And that slowly, over time, you would take away their anxious thoughts and give them your peace. We thank you for your peace, Lord. We need it more than anything else. That it would transform our marriages, our friendships, our lives. That we would bring you greater glory. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.